Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady, and I'm here for now with Keith, Mally, and Hemda back for another week of recapping the week. Inception. Others have said it. I thought it was funny. Thank you for getting me. Welcome, Keith and Hemda.
Hello. What's the for now to keep us on our toes?
There might be someone special joining us later.
Okay.
Surprise guest.
Better watch who I shit on.
It's your biological father.
He's very neat, too.
No, we discovered who he really was.
Right. Yeah. It's not this guy you've been emailing with.
But it is a priest, so it's weird.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think he was ever a priest?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Yikes.
The one thing I knew about him might not be true.
I don't think so either.
I think he came pretty close, but... Yeah. And then maybe he just like freelanced. You know, when you don't graduate college, but you still put where you went to school on your resume, it seems like that type of situation. You know what I mean?
I think he visited twice and that's it.
He was like, I've been to church. Right. I'm a priest.
I read the Bible.
Just ask me any question, straightforward, I will answer. Were you a priest? Son.
I knew you always questioned
it. Yeah, that's the end? Okay.
Yeah.
Just ask again.
Maybe he thinks writing two books about Christianity, I guess, makes him a priest.
It's so weird. Oh, Wells. We talked about it a little bit, starting with Monday's show. But first of all, if I may ask, how are you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm all right. I'm okay.
Okay.
I've been better.
Okay.
But I've been worse too, you know. I think I'm in a summer doldrums situation. A little bit bored.
Right. That's why they make summer movies.
That's right.
Right.
To stay cool and bored.
Yeah, I went to the movies yesterday.
What'd you see?
I saw The Farewell.
Nobody knows that. How about The Lion King, where animals talk to you?
I've lived it.
Oh, okay. I see that.
Yeah, I don't know. Things are good. The snack pack initiative is going like gangbusters. Okay. People are loving it.
Did you bring new snacks to the table?
Yeah, we've got some quadratini cookies. We've got chips and two types of dip.
What types? Onion?
Ranch?
Hummus and mango jalapeno salsa.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mango jalapeno salsa. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And then three flavors of seltzer.
What? This is all on the budget. $2.
Grapefruit?
Well, the past 2 weeks we've done grapefruit. So this week we did lime, plain, and ginger.
Hmm. Wait. Lime what? Just limes?
Lime seltzer.
This week I got limes.
I don't know. I'm like, I'm missing something about these limes.
People come to my area at work, I just throw limes at them.
Anybody not into the initiative and now they're apologizing in the form of $2.
Well,
is that your favorite, Keith?
People were hesitant at first, and then they saw that a bunch of cool people were into it and they came around.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
How are you guys feeling?
Well, I'm missing out on this initiative, you know.
Yeah, I mean...
It's too late to charge Andrea for any food in the fridge,
you
know.
You could apply for a job at my work if you wanted.
I'll think about it. I'll see what new snacks.
Yeah.
I don't drink a lot of seltzer, so I don't want to get burned on that, but I'd eat the shit out of that hummus. Yeah. All right, I'll think about it.
Yeah, think about it. You know, let me know. And you can just give me $2 if you want to support the initiative.
What about for $3, a tiny to-go initiative box that you bring here for Keith?
How about $5, you put a plaque with my name over top the snacks at your work?
The Keith Mally Memorial Snack Bar?
Yes. Okay. I'd support that.
Yeah. Right now it says Snack Pack HQ on the closet door, but we could change it.
Keith Mally, Snack Pack HQ. And when they say, who's Keith? You go, shh, shh, shh.
I say, you don't know? The father of podcasting?
Yeah, we'll sponsor the snack initiative.
Oh my God, we need sponsors.
I'm in.
That is so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we can get a sponsor packet in the form of just tell us how much.
All right, we have to get to it.
Yeah, please.
So much happened last week.
By the way, is it a tax write-off?
No.
Okay.
Also, I started this Slack channel, and I purposefully did not include my boss because why can't we just have something just for us?
Right.
She added herself to the Slack channel.
She's so jealous.
Yeah. I'm like, Nancy, you can join. It's inclusive.
Right.
But we want a safe space to talk about like what we might want to have for snacks.
Right.
And send funny gifts.
And right, about how we'd rather be anywhere than here. Exactly. But you don't need your boss going, I have an idea for snacks. And you go, no, it doesn't make the cut. Oreos are for children.
Maybe next week. I don't know. Right. Yeah, I don't know. She was like, oh, this is, she's from Long Island. Wow. And she, in a meeting, she was like, oh, your Slack channel, it's hysterical. It's like, it's not funny.
Right.
This is a community building. I am the company's culture czar.
She goes, it's funny. You all hate me. I've had jokes like that,
you
too.
You guys are hysterical. One person wrote, this Slack channel is the only place I don't feel like screaming into a pillow. Oh, shit. Anyway.
Enjoy your popcorn.
Right.
Yeah. Love it. So many guests last week. Hemda said we had a total of 10 people on the show.
Isn't that great? That's not including you and me.
Wow.
That's too many.
I agree.
Could have made some edits.
And here's where we find out with who. Right.
Casey James Salango, Will Winner, and Patrick Schroeder in the episode entitled Man Cave.
You know what I learned, by the way? And please. It could be my fault too, throwing you. That you don't say something is entitled something. It is simply titled.
Oh, you are such a hard-on.
Interesting.
Did you just take a blue chew and it went to your brain?
In the episode titled. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I used to think that too.
Entitled.
Yeah.
Entitled is entitlement.
Yes.
And that's a different word.
Correct.
Thank you, Keith.
Certainly.
You know, sometimes I'm doing shows and I'm like, oh, keep talking, fuckface. I can't wait till last week on Keith and the Girl. I wanted to say that now so I don't say it while we're talking about the show that I mean that.
Well, why learn, right?
Why learn? No, Keith knows I'm a word nerd. He knows I don't want to be walking around saying the wrong thing. Yeah. And do you know what it's called when you say the wrong word, Keith?
Dumb. Ignorant.
Catachresis. Mm-hmm. That's when you use the wrong word.
It's very catachresis.
It's catastrophic.
It's catachrisis. Mm-hmm. This was episode 3111.
It's a lot. Almost done.
Pack it in. B. Jason's second song was debuted on this one.
Oh, was that that one? B. Jason, how are you so talented?
If you like pina coladas. Yep. Damn. That guy's good.
He's good. I like the song so much that I forced them to be played on other podcasts I was on.
Yeah. Really?
Catherine Heller recorded her show, Tell the Bartender on here. I got both the father songs from B. Jason on that. I just did Mike Kaplan's show, Broccoli and Ice Cream, yesterday. Got both the songs on that.
Yeah, because nice. Really, people are like, well, we can record our, my podcast in your studio. And we're always like, yes, absolutely. So Keith is on the control. He just presses play. Yeah.
I'm like, we're doing a song now.
Boom. I love your show, by the way. Here's a song. Right. Wow.
He goes, I go, my dad's a weirdo. He goes, well, how do you mean? I go, like this, play.
He inspired some great art.
Yeah.
So three guests on one show, a little musical chairs action.
Yes.
Have you done something like that before that's not the marathon?
Yeah, like specifically when people buy on the Kickstarter, the producer reward, they get to pick. Now, originally I was, and technically it's only supposed to be one guest out of the five that they give me. But really, I just send out to all five and whoever's available, I'm like, come on, bye. And so we did musical chairs for that. Or sometimes, oh, remember Stucky and Murray one time showed up like, and we have a violin player and we're like, yeah, we're ready for a whole musical instrument studio. Sure, sure, sure. So we had to throw that together.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And Wes, it's fun, especially when you have three comics in this case that know each other well. And you know, they're counting who got more time, and it creates this energy.
Oh, see, I always, I am a little bit on edge when we do these shows because I'm just like, fair is fair. We have to switch them out now. And I'm typing out to Keith. I'm like, I think we're done with him. Let's rotate. I think the other one's waiting. And I just think, you know.
Yeah, they're trying, they're counting their zingers. They're doing tally.
But it also, I think, every time we've done that, it goes one way or another. Some people need to interrupt and they're on edge and they're, you know, their ego is getting butt hurt the whole time. But I do think in both ways it works to our benefit, because the other way is they're on alert because they have to pay attention to the stuff that's happening. So when they can get on mic, they can join in. So I kind of feel like it keeps them a little bit on their toes and ready to go. And it helps with them shitting on each other, because that's the kind of stage time they're getting. Right.
And we don't have a problem with these three like that, but we have
not at all.
But we've had guests before that were like, I like the guests, but pretty lethargic. They could almost not care. They think whatever they say is going to be funny, but we don't necessarily want to dismiss them. So we'll have them on again with something that energizes them. What actually the term catfish came from the movie that was before the TV show, was a catfish excites the other fish, and you get some catfish here and it gets the other comic to be like, oh, I got to step up my game. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting.
Well, I think the three of them also have a really funny dynamic between them.
They're actually real friends. They're nice to each other. They're honest about their relationship. They do want each other to succeed. It's this really beautiful dynamic, and they're still edgy in their comedy, so it's great.
Yep.
They're a throuple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really
nice.
Nice. Yeah.
You guys talked about, Keith, your regimented eating style.
Yeah, I don't even think it's so regimented, but I think kind of misrepresented
this
that
is
I
kind
need...
of like a is Hemda aggressive argument, though.
Right?
Like, people are telling you it's regimented. A lot of people agree. Maybe it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't have.
Oh, now I have to disagree.
I don't have to separate my eat all my mashed potatoes, and then eat all my peas, and then eat all my meat.
No, I did not say that.
Nobody is accusing you of that.
Right, because I'm not. Do I rather eat the dessert after the main meal? Absolutely. I do.
Rather, it's a rule. Have you eaten dessert before a meal?
I have. In fact, just 2 days ago, I had a carrot cake cupcake before the meal came.
Did you log it?
You were like, I'll show them.
Right.
I mean, I did a little.
I don't have a regimented eating style. I've flagged this moment.
But yes, if you have salads, you probably have it before your meal, and you have your meal before dessert, and it's the white reason restaurants are set up that way.
Well, in my family growing up, we always had salad last. That's like a European thing.
Yeah, well, look how proud everybody is.
Europe!
France is in Europe, you know. Paris is...
Europe! Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's too sweet just by itself. So you have it after, and you know, me and the whole world seem to agree. We did put the poll out. Do you eat dessert without a solid base?
I feel like this poll is rigged.
A solid base.
Well, I don't want to not have a solid base, so I guess yeah.
Does a cup of milk count?
Well, somebody said, what do you do if somebody gives you a plate of Brussels sprouts and a plate of, cheesecake? And I'm like, I don't get out of this guy's house. He's a weirdo.
That guy's not on my side. I don't like that example.
35% say, I eat like Keith. Real food, then dessert. 65% say, I eat like Kenda, dessert anytime. I don't respect anything. Is implied.
Science.
Yeah. Some of us are living out here.
You go into a restaurant, you don't get the dessert menu first.
Why do you have to go by everyone else's rules?
Because this is silly.
What if on the way to a really good restaurant, you pass the best dessert place, they're giving out a free the best cookie.
They promise they won't give the cookie later after you're done eating, and it's so the best.
You're going somewhere else after. You know what? Never mind. Whatever. Sorry to ruin your schedule.
It's okay. I like the way you're acting like it's upsetting me and not you.
You got to have a solid base, and I think...
What did you eat today? Obvious. Can we go over your schedule today? What did you eat today?
I had a
salad for breakfast, and then lunch was...
A base.
I had a Kind bar.
Okay.
So that's kind of desserty. chocolate, nuts.
That's okay. A base dessert. It's very weird. Keith, don't listen to that. That's not for you.
And then for lunch, I had salad.
Okay.
And then I came here and I had some snacks.
Okay.
So.
Little cheese and meat, right?
Uh-huh.
Now you're ready for dessert. It's interesting the way that worked out. It's
weird, I had dessert for breakfast.
There was a bar though, and I could have that
chocolate.
Too.
When during the day did I have chocolate? Oh, first thing. Yep. All right, Keith.
In the form of a bar.
You're right.
Oh, yep. So delicious.
Oh, a bar. Yep. Oh. That's not dessert. Sounds, chocolate bar in a bar form, not dessert. Yeah, yep. You're right.
Like, no. This is so decadent. He's I wonder if I'll it. Make a tweet account
no,
about it.
No, he's got it. Yeah. We got to move on. Short fuse.
If someone said, did you have dessert for breakfast? You wouldn't be like, yeah, I did. A bar with chocolate in it.
Well,
you know the
said,
difference.
Did you have a healthy breakfast? I would say no. I had a Kind bar. It's mostly chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And chocolate is mostly dessert.
Okay.
And I am mostly a fat piece of shit. And I'm mostly wrong, but not now. I'm
okay. Right.
We got to move on.
Yeah.
Please keep.
Short fuse with JP McDade and Bianca Brady.
Oh,
my God.
King of the century.
What an attractive lineup. Adorable.
Well, you were fantastic.
Thank you. I had fun. I was nervous.
Because you admire JP's comedy.
He's so funny and handsome. And I was nervous to be on the show with him. And always nerve-wracking to be not in our safe little secret world here behind the paywall, guys. So, you know, I tried my best, and I think I got a couple good lines in.
I heard the whole thing again. You were great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great pairing. Also, you guys ever watch JP McDade while he's on the show? He is, just, and I love him for it. He's very, very concentrated. He's got it. And then if we look like we're about to talk, he just, he holds it and he says it right in time. He's just like very, like looking for everything that he has to say, very concentrated.
He's a joke scientist.
Yes.
Yeah. We talked about the Bagel Boss, the famous viral video.
Yes. Which led to a tweet I was given that apparently was 17 years old, but I acted like it was just yesterday. Of when you were in a argument
right.
in
one
a
of
shop.
My famous verbal altercations in a frozen yogurt shop.
Yeah,
badass that I am. Yeah, my Twitter is old, but
what
still
happened?
Holds up. It's good
when you're on the not pay for play part. When you're on the big show,
yeah.
Do you tell family, friends? Does it weird you out to?
I do.
You do?
I do.
And do you ask them for feedback? Do you expect feedback?
Well, this time I was too nervous and embarrassed to really tell people. The last time when it was just me, I told people because it was like this a similar setup. But I don't really ask for feedback. I'm not looking
You're not needy
for notes.
Like I am. Like if you hear the show, you have to tell me if I was funny.
I mean, yeah, I can't handle a lot. I did read all the forums, and everybody is so nice. Everybody's so nice to me who listens to the show. It's like truly preposterous, you guys.
Yeah, that's the word for it.
Anyway, one person was like, so nice to me, so nice to me. And then he was like, I'd like to hear JP again with Connor De La Hante. And I was like, fuck you! What about with me?
I've heard the Bagel Boss on a talk show or two. He's such an idiot.
Yeah.
He's as stupid as you would guess, and he's such just an asshole.
But they're putting him on talk shows.
Well, let him. I mean, it's a 15 minutes of fame joke, so that doesn't bother me at all.
I think that this could be leveraged into a reality show called Anger Management or something stupid.
If you find five more of him, I guess so. You know,
you find five men under 5 feet and you put them in stressful situations and whoever doesn't lose their mind wins.
Little big problems.
Wow. Yeah. I love it.
But it's going to be hard to find. But sure, if they can, you can always get it. You know,
there are millions of men who are short and who are fine.
Well, start taking notes. There's millions of pretty women, but not all of them can be models because we don't say nothing.
What?
I don't know.
I think that we can find five angry men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I could find five in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Under 5'11"?
5'11"?
5'11"?
How old's this guy? Under 4'11"?
This guy was 5 feet.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of guys who are 5 feet.
Well.
And angry.
Anybody can say $1 million idea, coulda, woulda. We got to do it.
All right. Cast and call this Wednesday.
Okay. And holler so I look down and find you. Right?
And then we segued into, we talked about the mayor for a while. I did see him between that show and this one.
Yes, this is the mayor wasn't in New York at the time during the big blackout.
He was at the coffee shop, though, the other day.
Oh.
I did not give him a message.
You were going to tell him, hey, get your shit together.
Yeah, I was.
Mayor.
But there, his, so his.
Well, after the bagel boss, you don't want to make trouble in public.
And especially a place where they sell bagels. So it would be crazy.
The mayor asked you to step outside?
He is tall. He could tackle me in a similar way. So his home is on this block, and literally a house right next to it has a huge Elizabeth Warren for President sign.
Oh, wow.
Right next door. I thought that was funny.
Do you think that's going to be, I brought this up, but do you think it's going to be weird that he won't become president. I think that's obvious. And then he's going to run for a third term in New York, and he thinks New Yorkers are going to be like, oh, yeah, you didn't go for the prettier lady? We're still into you?
Well,
no, I really want to be here. Oh, really? Because you were trying for another job while lights were going out.
I think that there is not a lot of good competition for him right now. So
in New York?
Yeah.
Okay, so why not have fun?
Right,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we segued into Keith's bummer news hour, my favorite part of every show.
Mm-hmm. We just recorded the one that's coming out this week, so look out for it.
Did you save those stories for me?
I know you like
in particular, because you know I love to talk about, you know, when people are shooting.
We talked about the Las Vegas shooting,
cowards,
and the cowardly police officer that was saved for you.
Those are the days where watching Andrea work, she's just looking through news articles, going, "Oh, come on, oh man," she's just making all kinds of noise, like, "Oh, no, that can't be."
Yeah, if you saw her browser history, you'd lock her up. You got problems. Look up a dog or something, a puppy.
Exactly. Yeah, you're the one who's got the problem.
Yeah, but you can't prove it.
Somebody complained that this episode was a little too short. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to do
use more Bianca.
Well, it's all a pun on the short bagel box.
Okay, I see. Oh my God, levels. All right, we have to move on.
But what about the poll? What are we going to do about that?
Tell him he can't. It's your show. You can do whatever you want.
Have you ever yelled at a stranger in public was the poll?
Who said no?
27% said no.
Told ya. I came up with this poll.
They forgot. Other people are yelling in public.
Hemmed up.
I know. Come on. I'll just be quiet for the rest of the show, or at least this segment.
I wonder how you would get through. I can understand people being meek, but to never. Have you ever yelled at somebody in public?
Of course you did.
I don't know. I can't.
Why are you yelling?
No, I have. I have. I have.
Yeah.
Because he almost hit my friend with a car.
Okay.
I had a rage blackout, and then I sort of realized what was happening as I was yelling at him in the driver's side window with my finger in his face. Oh. He wasn't paying attention when he was taking a turn, and I literally pushed my friend out of the way and then started yelling at this guy. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh no, this is dangerous.
Dude, I wonder what percent of this 27% are not counting things like, you could say, excuse me.
Okay, I didn't want to be aggressive or anything, but at some point, somebody pushed a button before you turned all Zen and Buddha-ish. But like when you were 20, no one pissed you off for no reason. You were never drunk and like yelling at someone, like, why are you even talking to him? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like nothing. 27% of you
I believe in the 27% of you.
I believe in 10% of you.
Should a poll be, maybe, are you a fucking liar?
Okay, Billy Vanilli.
Yes.
Andrea's title.
Honestly, incredible. I feel like we should get Andrea up here to talk about Billy.
All right.
Because I can't with Billy. I love it. It's so fucking, it makes me feel so weird because I'm like, Billy, you're saying this out of your face, right?
Yeah. Why are you friends with him?
I don't know. Every time I get a text from him, I'm like, ugh. God.
What's he text you to say?
I don't, like, he asked me, he sends me screenshots of confrontations he's having and asks me if he's in the wrong. And I'm like, you're always in the wrong.
The thing is he's like enlightened to a point, but he gets the things
a little.
I would
never use the word enlightened to describe him. Well, he's the most unenlightened person I've ever met in my life.
He's looking for light.
Oh my God, in his own asshole? Where?
He's looking for light. He's trying, but he just misses marks a lot of time. And that's why he's like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
But it's hard to explain.
Well, because it's like, he's like, what am I doing wrong? And I'm like, any sane person would see this and know they were in the wrong. The fact that you're like, I think I'm in the wrong, but I don't know. It's like, I don't even know where to start with you.
With a sense of responsibility. Just start with, how could I be wrong? And yeah. I bet you'll find an answer.
He's like, he's one of these friends that like drains my batteries, and I'm less and less keeping those people around recently. And to be honest, behind the paywall, he has been teetering on the getting cut list for a little while. And it's the thing, like, I guess.
Like, would you see him? Is it a social media fight? I've seen him do that where he's like, well, this is my thought. And me seeing it knows that you're deliberately pushing a fight. You're not trying to solve anything. Is it like that? And then he goes, hey, who's right?
Yeah. Or like he would get on in fights with, like, he's gotten a fight with like Ray Sani on, like, he'll get in fights with powerful,
highly intellectual.
Yeah, I'm like, you have a bad reputation. So why do you think that you have, that you, number one, even if you are right, why are you doing this right now? You know what I mean? It's like, and I'm not saying he has a bad reputation across the board, but he's done some stuff in public that has gotten him in trouble. So I'm like, if I
like
know.
What?
Posting a blowjob on the internet.
Did he do that?
Didn't he do that?
Yeah. He like crosses these lines. But the thing is, he dabbles.
That one I was okay with.
He dabbles with other unstable people. And then he's like, what? How did this? And it's like.
They didn't go over ground rules.
You keep playing in these dangerous areas. And I'm like.
Do you think he's doing stupid play?
And like.
He's so much fun on shows.
He's so fun. The thing that always keeps us together as friends is like, I know a lot about his, you know, personal life, and he really does feel alienated. He really is one of these people that like struggles with self-hate in a way that is like tough to handle.
What did he say about himself that I thought was unfortunately accurate, very sweet,
I'm not
but
funny.
Also,
was it that?
Yeah.
But also very negative. He said, and somebody roasted him like this, everyone.
Oh, I'm the friend that everyone thinks that they're the only one who likes.
Yeah.
I'm butchering it, but like, you're like, oh, everyone else hates Billy, but I like him.
Yeah.
He's, what keeps him around is that we work well together. He's very like, he helps
lets
me.
Himself be a punching bag, which is, to me, if he denied any of the stuff that I'd be like, get the fuck out. If you don't let me make fun of you on the bullshit that's coming out of your mouth, you can't speak anymore.
He's so entertaining on the show.
Yeah,
he's great. And I love having him on. And so in that way, as an entertainer, great success.
As a friend, he's a show that I get to tune into. And then when it becomes too much work, I'm like, I am muting this show right now.
I was a little bit disappointed, though, that we didn't have him, but we will. After the 48 hours of being a dom. Because at this point, it's all hope. It's all, you know, gonna work out great. We're gonna get the emails going. We're gonna do checklists, like whips. Yes, mm-hmm. No. Chains. Yes, no. I don't know how it works. But apparently, there's a lot of correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all gonna work out because everybody's gonna know their boundaries. Mm-hmm. And nobody's gonna freak out. And it's not going to fall apart, and the payment's going to go through no problem.
Can I tell a super, super secret about Billy?
I don't know. Can you?
Yes, I asked. And so I could say that I asked, and everyone co-signed. Well, this is an example of a me and Billy friendship interaction. So he is hooking up with someone that I know. Okay.
Oh boy.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh my God. I doubt it is, but I'm in.
I'm going to say someone I know. That's the only context I'm going to give.
She knows a lot of people.
I know a lot of people.
That's true.
Okay. And this person is dramatic. Okay. So when I found out that him and her were hooking up, I was grinning from ear to ear because I'm like, I have another show coming. There's going to be another show featuring these two very, very dramatic people.
Publicly dramatic.
Yeah, I'm not close with this person, but I'm like, ah, she throws shit fits all over the place. This is going to be the best. And then he asked
me. That kept Andrea smiling for a week.
I did. It was during the cancer scare. It was the only thing that kept me happy. It was the idea of this fucking dumpster fire that this is going to be. And then he asked me what I thought about her, and I had to like.
Well, I said a sensitive thing while I was like, you know, you're both highly sensitively charged, which might be the thing that keeps you really good together, but also there's potential for it to blow in the face. I feel like.
Chemda did the florally sensitive Chemda description.
I was right, though. I described it good.
You know, you did a great job.
Okay. And then Andrea was like. She threw up all over him.
I was like, she may be described as a cunt by some people that are in this room.
Keith, what do you think of?
Honestly, I told him go for it.
I think go for it. I need a new season of Billy Goes Into a Hurricane.
I was going to say, what do you think of Billy's thirst traps, really, between us?
Why not? I don't know. They're fucking ridiculous
to
me.
He looks so good. I think they're great. Why are we shitting on that? I don't get that.
The come hither look that he does in all these photos, it's vomitous.
Only because you know him and you feel a certain way, but he looks really good in those photos.
I don't agree that the president of the United States should be telling women of color to go back where they came from. He takes his shirt off.
He just splashed us.
Get the fuck
out. So what?
It feels... Okay. Yeah.
It's funny and you know it.
It's icky.
I just think I'm jealous because I've never had the cojones to really post a thirst trap.
He does live freely. Like, he lives out loud.
I can't imagine
in a way that I respect.
Being like Billy in that I would be not absolutely humiliated.
In everything that he does.
Like, even if I had, like, one iota of Billy's experience, I would be... beyond humiliated to the point where I would just leave the country.
Yeah.
Right.
And I admire his willingness to share about these
experiences.
He lives
out loud. He does.
Yeah,
he lives so
it's
loud.
Great.
And I love it. I can't tell you enough, like, for all the, like, shit he gets or how, like, tough anyone is on him on this show, I think he's one of the most entertaining guests on
that's
the show.
That's why, yeah. Is the most entertaining guest in my life. And that's why I keep him around. Unless he becomes too much trouble, then.
When he says weird things that I don't want to co-sign, I think some of it is anti-open to sex or whatever. But when I go like, hey, that sounds like this, he's not arguing with me. He's not turning into a bigger shithead when I'm like, hey, that's a shithead thing to say.
Also, calls women that he's seeing chicks a lot, which I feel like is antithetical to his mission statement. Am I wrong?
I don't know. He's such a confusing person. You could never know.
I think he's so new to sex that we should... Honestly, like, I think we should... It's like listening to a 20-year-old going like, you know what's the best about sex? Well, you don't.
I still find him funny when he says he's vanilla.
Maybe, he's kind of vanilla.
He's like, I'm vanilla. And so I asked this girl I fuck, do you want to... I'm getting flown to your area. Do you want to come watch me fuck this sub?
It's so vanilla.
That's a direct quote from the episode.
Okay, fair enough.
He's at least a Ben and Jerry's vanilla with chocolate chips and shit. To not even say vanilla bean is ridiculous to me. And 48 hours of domming.
How is he going to do that?
Well, it's kind of easy. Let's say 16 hours of sleep. You're down to 32 hours already.
Sure.
Apparently, she has to go shopping for 6 hours for him. So now we're down to whatever.
I can picture him sort of getting tired and being like, I'm hungry. Oh, I mean.
Make me eggs from a chicken.
Bitch.
Like, how do you work the remote? I mean.
As someone who has had sex with Billy.
Did you?
Yes. You know this.
I'm in denial.
I can't.
But didn't it not happen?
Yeah,
because he was so.
Was his penis dominant?
No, he was so intimidated by my dom energy that he couldn't keep it up. So it's interesting to think about.
You probably do for 48 hours be able to hold a hard on, right?
But he's not having sex.
But whatever it takes.
But he's not having sex for 48 hours. He's just...
I know, but when you get called on at any time, even though you're in charge.
No, but he doesn't... he is in charge for 48 hours, meaning he could be like, I don't want to look at you for 5 hours until I come up with what I want to do with you. I think his biggest mistake will not be not being able to dom, because he can come up with stuff. I think his biggest mistake will be like adding the person that he's coming in to watch... so she can watch him fuck her. I'm like, stop adding things.
I think it'll be in the emailing.
Yeah,
but he's in a safe Twitter space war.
I want you both to watch a super long movie together. I'll be in the bedroom crying, thinking.
I like video games, so that's what I'll do. What's the poll here?
The poll was, who would make the best dom?
Now let's go around the room, Andrea.
And your choices were Billy, Chemda, or Keith.
I think people are going to vote Chemda because she's the big scary woman. And it was like skewing that what you were yelling. You love yelling at him. So that's what people will say. But people are ass kissers to Keith all the time. So they might do that.
But see, I understand why you would ask it, because he's 6'2" and he just seems domineering, but he's never expressed.
He's not a dominant person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with you.
So we have...
you didn't even consider Billy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've had sex with Billy. Billy fucked me through his pajama pants hole, so everybody can take...
Well, that takes away 4 inches off right the there. Table. That takes away like half a foot.
What was on the pajama pants?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
No.
Yeah. Driving a Tonka truck.
I do have to go, actually, turns out.
Try knowing that you did that in your brain and waking up every day and looking in the mirror.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
You're so strong.
Thank you so much.
So we have Chemda at about 83%.
Wow. Bianca didn't say, but come on.
Keith at 17%.
Nice.
Billy, one vote.
I think that 17%, those are the percent that fantasize about you doming them.
Right. Keith ass kisser army.
I don't think it's ass kissing. I think
it's... That eat salad before meals. Yeah, right.
I think it's that. I think it's that face, that weird aggression of like...
I'm doing a psychology report that men have different parts of their brain that make them less emotional. So really, Keith is right. I love Keith.
Jeremy.
Well, Keith is aggressive in his own way. And I think if you are that 17%, that's what you're picturing but sex.
Mm.
Right? Like he's... He's notoriously
asked. He's correcting their grammar during sex.
We have to move on.
Right?
Yeah, take it. Take it, Bianca. But dominate.
But isn't that something that only one person...
It's Billy. And, he's a ghost account on the forums.
And he knows he's lying.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the newlywed game
one
two.
One second, may I bring up one more point, please?
Please dominate with your statistics, Keith.
Apia brought up, Chemda is the best dom. What's going on, Andrea?
I don't know.
This is Andrea's personality.
Yeah, what's going on?
Chemda is the best dom of these three. She has the right kind of aggression in her. And then this person, Piskian, says...
By the way, that's wrong. It's not aggression that makes you a dom.
That's wrong.
All right, very good. Bianca, moving on.
We do have to move on. The Newlywed Game 2. With Andrea as host.
Thank you.
Kyle Ocasio and Xerxes. What will you admit?
I was a little nervous.
Zip it!
I knew I would fuck up.
You fucked up so badly.
So I didn't know I would fuck up that badly, though.
She didn't give a shit about this game.
I did give a shit.
Andrea did not fall in my footsteps as a host. She did not move things briskly along.
Yeah, you're more of a classical and I'm more of a jazz.
She got a little bit... loose with it at certain times.
Sure.
You know, you'd be like, now that reminds me of an anecdote I have about myself.
Imagine Chuck Woolery is like,
I'm gonna do a show and not have it be all about me. What's the fucking point?
I have to hear it back, because it's one of the shows that I wasn't in the room for like half of it and I still haven't heard it back. So tell me how well everybody
did.
Oh
yeah. I talk shit about either other end of the couple. Well, their partner was in the room, and I was like, I'm excited for them to, you know, hear the other half of it.
Well, Xerxes is not an on-mic personality person, so how'd he do? Is he quiet?
Yeah, he was quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard it back, and it's funny how when you're a team and you just want to win, how offensive you could be to each other in the meantime.
Like, what do you mean?
What is Keith's favorite dessert? Oh, he's Philadelphia Crepe. What an asshole, this piece of shit. And then I go, Philadelphia Crepe. Yes, baby, we matched. Yes.
And I made sure to mention that because I'm the devil and I want to stir up conflict. Conflict is interesting.
That's funny. We went back to my place and he's like, mashed potatoes. We just talked about this the other day. And I'm like, I know, it's all my fault.
Mashed potatoes, well, the salmon situation.
The salmon thing.
But the best was how high Andrea got.
Wow.
And she said, what is your partner's favorite style of mashed potatoes?
and said it over and over again.
And then I was like, oh my God.
Then I asked you the question.
Again. After I already answered it, because I happened to answer that.
Okay, let's get serious. What is your partner's favorite style of mashed potato? Damn it!
Okay, now I told Chemda and Xerxes, because I'm used to your weed. You give me weed exclusively. Uh-huh. And I don't usually smoke whenever I'm doing a podcast, but this is a chat party. It's a little more loose. It's fun. I'm like, I can have a little bit because I know how to I know how high I usually get off of your weed.
Yeah.
And this was way more high.
I think you smoked more.
I don't think so.
There's no way to know.
But Andrea, let me ask you this. What is your favorite style of mashed potatoes?
Your choices are mashed. Now go.
Also, counting, doing numbers. Yeah. Fucking nightmare.
And at the end, you were like, it's all tied up.
Well, she goes.
Was it tied up? Did you rehear it? Did anyone rehear it?
I did not bother to do the math.
I think somebody needs to bother to do the math.
You still lost. No, you're horrible. You did such a bad job.
Well, I enjoyed Andrea saying, "What are your partner's favorite style of eggs? Scrambled, over easy, poached, or boiled? I don't understand what boil is." Well, it's hard boiled.
I know.
So you buy your eggs out of a bag.
Also, like, nobody knew what eggs were. Hemdo was like, which is that? Which is fried? Like,
There's no time. I can't handle
which
questions.
Which is a fried egg?
I'm already trying to count.
Let me ask you, which kind of egg is a fried one?
I can't
is
answer your fucking science questions.
Fried or different? Is it like when you open the fridge and you just pick it?
I look insanely high. I'm terrified, and you're asking me clarifying questions about frying of an egg.
And then she's like, I only know eggs in Hebrew.
I do. I don't.
I know.
Like as if we're gonna buy that. How long have you been in this goddamn country? It's a fried egg. You crack it. Fry it in the pan, maybe you flip it over, maybe you don't. I don't know, Hemda.
I do, over easy.
I'm fucking drowning and you throw me an anvil with your fucking egg style question.
You're asking me.
My eyes are in space and you're like, well, what's the, give me more details.
Mashed potatoes.
It's all potatoes, fuck it.
What was the fallout from A Cup Gate?
Oh yes, loved good question. That.
She came to my house after, so I assumed there'd be a little ribbing when I'm taking the broth, but there was no hassle.
Really?
She was okay with it. She understood the confusion. She's small, so I go small numbers.
My favorite part of that.
A is not a number.
Yeah, right.
Just in case you were, I know you were corrected me on the entitled titled thing.
It's so the
I
just mashed wanted potatoes of numbers.
Make sure you knew.
I appreciate
that.
I also enjoyed particularly.
As long as we're giving each other notes.
Thank you.
When Keith looked at me and said, "What size are you?" And I was wearing a hoodie, and I'm like, I've never been happier to be wearing baggy clothing. Yeah, it was.
How did
fun.
Xerxes deal with that one? Did he know right away? Did
yeah,
he
was like B and a half.
Cool as a cucumber. Truly
so annoying, and he threw that right in my face. He's like, yeah, I listen. I go, I know I'm the worst. And he goes, yeah, what happened?
Yeah, I don't, you were a mess.
He's like, you say it on the show. You say it like.
Why Andrea's so winning?
He goes, you have a sponsor and you talked about half sizes. I'm like, oh, you're really listening to me.
Yeah.
Well, Andrea it was so disgusted with you that you didn't try hard enough, she thinks, because she obviously wanted me to lose. And she goes to Xerxes. He says B and a half, and she goes, okay. And I go, well, can I do? I'll do A and a half. And she goes, nope, too late. And then when the two of you together, she goes, now, isn't it interesting? I said, you can have half sizes, Andrea.
I was trying to take you down, but you were unstoppable. I really will admit.
Yeah, really bra was. Size is I mean, the cups really don't have a lot to do with it at the end of the day.
Thank you.
Okay, wait, pause. Because I think a lot of men have shrugged this off and said, well, I don't know about sizes. And it's not like they're looking in our bras for sizes. But you know what? We know your dick sizes. Guess how we're figuring that out.
You measure after your vagina?
We've had it in different...
We take off your dick bra and we look at the tag.
I mean, have you ever had a tit in your hand and then remembered, oh, my hand wasn't this full of tit the last time I touched it? Then you compare.
I said two handfuls.
No, you didn't.
They weren't accepting that.
But it doesn't...
How many handfuls?
It is silly, though, because, like, my bra size is 32D, which is crazy. It seems crazy that I would have a D, but that's what the bra says. Thank you. I just think it's like what Kyle said. Just like she's a small frame. And it doesn't mean I have big boobs.
Yeah, but if somebody would say if somebody would say a C, we would accept that as like, oh, I'm a C. But if somebody's, what size is Kyle?
I think she was a C, if not a D.
I think she said D.
Yeah.
But you're thinking A. That's a wide margin
just
of error.
D for everybody, gentlemen. No. D from now on. Yeah. Everyone's D.
Yeah.
Because I could wear a 34C and it would fit, would just be uncomfortable.
Right. You so we're talking comfort. D, what are you, D? What are you, D? What a surprise. But don't say that.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you really twisted that well.
D, D, D.
Okay, another surprise from this episode for me was that Xerxes' favorite song is Rocky Raccoon.
Mm-hmm. Out of all the songs.
Out of all the songs. And it inspired me to listen to it. In an attempt to get to know him better,
nice.
And like to maybe try and understand him more as a friend.
Good luck.
I don't get it, man. I mean, I love the song, but
a lot of talking,
was
right?
So confident, Rocky Raccoon, like didn't even have to think about.
If I didn't see, that's the one that panicked me the most. I'm like, no, I gotta get this. He has a favorite song. He's mentioned it several times. If I didn't get that one, I'd be very upset.
I really want to know why. It's his favorite song.
Yeah, that's true.
If somebody could just quickly ask him.
Okay, because I feel like everyone's looking at me like it's the game again, and I'm going to pass.
And I'm just going to go, oh, I don't know.
Steak!
Does he like stories but hate songs, and this is the closest thing to a song?
It's not that much talking.
I know.
It's not?
But it's singing of a story, right?
It is a story. I think he likes the story aspect of it, the simplicity of it.
How's it go, Bianca?
Rocky Raccoon. Got to his room, only to find Gideon's Bible.
Dun, dun, dun.
Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Sorry, I like to take over the mic.
Yeah, it's like he goes to the hotel to like shoot somebody with a gun, but then the guy busts in and shoots him, and then there's a girl involved. Her name was McGill. She called herself Lil, but everyone knew her as Nancy. I mean, does it make any sense? Xerxes?
Everyone knew her as Nancy.
Is it one of those songs that, like, he was on acid once and he heard it and it hit him a certain way? You know what I mean? I feel like it falls in that category.
I cannot follow his musical tastes because they're so eclectic. I mean, he likes the Beatles where it's like, okay, duh, of course. Then he likes 90s hip-hop and it's like, okay, you grew up in Queens and Corona, like, but he's like... really well versed in hip hop. And then there's Daniel Johnston and Kimia Dawson. And
because he's sensitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like these off key, weird, they don't know how to play the guitar. Not Kimia Dawson, but like, I'm like, what are you listening to? And it's usually the lyrics.
Mm.
Rocky Raccoon, the lyrics. Okay.
And then Fozzie Bear.
That was the sweetest answer I
don't
ever heard.
Don't say that. Don't. Yeah. No. One he fucked up. Now.
I love.
He fucked up
that.
In life. You know that's not a comedian, right?
Thank you.
The only person who came out of this episode looking good was Xerxes.
That is true. That's true. Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the protagonist of that episode. And I was the anti-hero.
Well, he's just so like, this is the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had this conversation last week at 2:15.
And your favorite type of mashed potatoes is mashed potatoes. What are you talking about?
And you're so like, huh, this, oh. Yes. But you know what? It said an answer that makes no sense.
I really needed to take a minute.
You were so excited to be playing the game that you lost your shit. But I will say, After listening to the old Newlywed Game, you knew so much about Hennessy, and it seemed like you really were like, you know, so taking care, or like, you know how the you know everything, the birth dates, the favorite, everything. And this one, you were sloppy all over the place. So maybe it's a good thing. You know what I mean?
I'll take it that way.
You're I don't give a shit. Mashed. Who gives a shit? I don't do nice things anymore. It gets me in trouble. I'm coming down. And I love it.
The poll for this one was who's going to win, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Poll is who's going to win. And we said, hey, maybe you know the answer by now. Here's a third category if you already know the answer. But it did match what I noticed people were saying before the actual game did begin in real time. They were sure that Henda was going to win.
Yeah. And I had a feeling Suckers. That they thought that I was going to win. And it's because, like, I'm always aware of people's insides and I take care of them. Right. And I look after the things. And turns out I'm a big piece of shit.
Not anymore, bitch.
But the,
and
there
I'm
is,
proud.
I have said, I know French fries are my favorite, but I do remember telling him mashed potatoes are my favorite. Why did I do that? You know?
I definitely loved learning more about Keith and Kyle's relationship through Kyle's answers.
Mm. Yes.
It was very enlightening.
What did you learn?
To the listener. I learned about the cause of your worst fight.
Oh, that was one of my favorite questions.
You're so mean.
And you were like, joking answer, because I fall asleep. And she's like, no, bitch. I told the real story. And you're like, yeah, time's up for the show. We gotta go.
Oh, it's funny when you're comfortable with the fight, you know? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Oh, she also said one last thing.
Oh, yeah.
One of Kyle's guilty pleasures was starting fights for fun, which I enjoyed.
When did she say that?
In the very beginning, she was like, starting fights for no reason. And I was like, oh, noted. You guys didn't hear that? Guilty pleasure activity. And then
she doesn't like actually starting the fight. She likes to joke that there's a fight. Like, like I'm joke angry. And it's like, that's what we need, a level of that.
Oh, I thought she meant it like how you do, like when you're like, Andrea, like that fake, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of the same.
Oh, okay. That's you guys cute. Don't do that? You don't do that?
No.
In your weird sarcasm?
No.
Okay. He's too afraid of losing her, you know?
Okay.
Oh, God, yeah, that right.
Is. Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, we got to move on.
I can't, like, some people melted at that. I was like, oh, humanity, stop it.
That she would leave me all alone.
It did
and
back.
My stepson would leave too.
Give me
but
a-
only the one that I like. Yeah. Don't give a shit about the other two.
This is the weirdest congratulations I've ever gotten. I'm going to tell you, all three of you, that.
Congrats.
No, I was thrilled.
Thank you.
Thrilled. Okay. Can you tell how thrilled I am? I'm so thrilled. 3,115.
Mm-hmm. Every time you say the numbers, I'm like, yeah, I'm with Keith. I think we're done.
Mind your own business with Nika White.
Yeah. We like the title sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think listening to this show?
Well, like I said with the Billy episode, you know, the purpose of the show at the end of the day is to entertain.
Yes.
And I did not feel entertained by this guest. Okay. I was on edge. Oh. I felt like he was asking for like us to be so excited that he was there, maybe a little bit of arrogance coming across, and I couldn't. I had to listen to it in like four parts because I kept having to turn it off because I was so put off by his attitude.
What was that? What were those moments for you?
I just, the like lack of humility in answering certain questions or like shutting the conversation down in a way that doesn't sort of bring anything else up to replace it.
Oh, so when we ask him a question, he's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, that's personal.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty private myself, but I know how to not answer a question in a way that doesn't totally stop the conversation.
And you also don't bring things up that don't take a follow-up. What's the deal when you're young, having to give money to your family? Were your parents around? Yeah, they're always there. What parent doesn't seem around right now? I don't want to talk about it. Well, I didn't have to bring it up.
Right. And also, we know the answer because we did research, but we let it go because
it's in his stand-up. Or it's in his...
He was on the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
Oh.
People forget that they say shit all over the place, and okay. then they decide to be private.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
we let it go because I thought, like, what are we going to argue with him that his dad left? Like, that's not...
I just think, like, you always say it's a different skill, podcasting versus stand-up. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, if I saw his stand-up entertaining in a different way or his own podcast where he's more comfortable. But the impression that I got listening to it was that it was like you should already know who I am and you should be saying thank you that I'm even here. And I was like, okay, well, this doesn't make me want to seek out any of your stuff. And I have never heard of you. So,
and people were kind of mean, not just on our forums, but on Instagram.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he answered them. Mm-hmm.
Such as what?
I forgot. They said something like, this guy was annoying or something like that. And he goes, right? And he's also, he joked around with them, like, right? And he's also loud or something yeah. sarcastic and friendly. And his reputation is super friendly with everybody. His stand-up reputation is great. I think that he is super private, and I don't think people understand that in podcasts, you have to if you're going to be private, then you really have to be specific about the podcasts you go on. Like you said, specific about how to answer questions that you don't want to answer.
Well, come with a plan. Come with an agenda. Come with a news story or two. You know,
also,
you can make the show your own thing. And I did hear the show back, and it's hard to tell, but I don't know if I would have noticed there was something going on. I don't know. Now, the audience, it seems like they did, so maybe I would have. But as for being in the room, some days me and Henda go, yeah, that's why we get paid. He did not know what show he was on, literally.
That's when you said come with a plan, I was starting to interrupt you. He couldn't come with a plan. He thought he was coming in here for the Hot Mess Comedy Hour again. When he sat down in that, even though I was like, very clear in my email, very clear when he walked in, when Andrea talked to him.
Yeah,
she recommended this guest. Yeah, she was very clear. We were sitting down. We're sitting in the hot seats here. He's sitting down. He physically turned around to Andrea right before we were starting and going, well, are you going to come on mic so you can host? And I was like, that's the fucking final straw. Like he obviously didn't know where he was. I'm not saying like, don't you know where you are, but you don't know where you are. And he came late and didn't.
He like blamed the GPS on not finding the plate. It sucks because, again, I recommended this guest.
But you always take it personally, and I never go like, wow, Andrea, you know?
It's just so, he's so, such a darling in the comedy community. He has been nothing but nice to me. This like blew my fucking mind. I was so like, what the this was not.
You heard it too then. Out of character.
She wanted
for
to
him.
Kill herself after
I
the
was
show.
So upset about the way that he behaved. And like, it's just like, I, but afterwards I was like, oh, right. Cause when he's on stage, he's in control.
He wrote it down.
He's very well liked in the clubs cause he's connected to everyone. So he's in control there. And I think this was a situation. And the thing is, he's always been so organized too when I deal with it. Like he's been doing stand-up since he was a teen. He's like very hardworking, it seems, from the outside because he keeps getting things. So when someone's like that, I assume that they move that professionalism to everything that they do. But I think he's one of these people that many comics are like this, that when it comes to podcasting, they're just like,
yeah.
Like, how can you have that attitude about this? How can you have that attitude about this after like, how huge podcasts are for comedians' careers, how can you just be like, he would never show up to a show late, not know what was going on, not do his homework. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's just an opportunity to introduce yourself to a new audience who may have not heard you before, myself included. And I'm somebody who actually does kind of keep up with comedy and know a lot about it. And it's just a shame, especially if Andrea is saying, who I trust, that he's, you know, great and well respected. And I believe you.
Yeah, it was mind blowing.
That episode, like I said, I had a hard time listening. I almost couldn't even finish it.
When he had the first.
I almost kicked him out.
You did?
Yeah, because I'm like, when he was like, well, Andrea, at that point, you're fucking late. Then you're late on top of being late because he was late for mic check. Then he was late for the actual show. He came in here arrogant. He came in here not knowing where he was or what he was doing. I mean, to like a crazy degree. And I sat here going, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Yeah. I could just go get the fuck out. But
we should have said it is Andrew's show.
So yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I just
and then Andrew does what she wants to do. You know what? We did
Andrew's
a 2-hour.
Like, hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us.
Your dad, go.
Yeah, I also had him on with a friend when I had him on a Hot Mess, and there was a lot of back and forth with him and the friend, and I think he was more comfortable with another comic to bounce off of. I think like a serious one on since he is, and I didn't realize how private he was, and that, but of course, because when he's on stage, he's. He mostly
he
talks
seems of, revealing because he's in charge.
Yeah, he yeah. also mostly talks about like race and the kind of stuff that's like obviously involving him, but separate from him on a personal level. So, yeah.
But he also sounded open on Hot Mess. So I understand where you would get that from.
Yeah.
Also, I love Harry Potter, you know?
Mm.
Right.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that.
I even jumped on Mike because, I mean, I had something relevant to add to the story. But
you were like a cool salve.
I was like, I have to fix this.
It's just a healing balm.
Thank you.
And, you know, Hemda's gone to too much Al-Anon now. She can't, you know, like, make everyone comfortable anymore. She's too self-aware.
Yeah.
But Andrea's new to the program, newer. So she comes in, she's like, let me lay down a carpet for your massive ego. Yeah. Here, pee all over my ego carpet. I'm here for you, sir.
Well, I almost lost it when he was like, because you know the type of girl that she is. And I was like, stop yourself. Yeah. You have to explain that. I mean, I'll like obviously say whatever you want, but what the fuck do you think that
I
means?
I just like how, Hemda, you like, you can, I can tell, maybe because I know you guys too, I can tell like when that you're kind of stewing and like sort of, and then Keith just has this attitude of like, oh, fuck it, you know, right. Like,
well, guess we're never going to know. I mean, we know, so guess we'll pretend to never know.
Like, we're, that question's done, so let me move on to the next one.
People figured out isolation booth means the next room, or they didn't. Okay, so we're done with that. The comic did tell you to fuck off until you're ready to play the game of being a comic, but okay, we're going to argue that? I don't think so.
No, he didn't? Great.
But did I move on? Keith, here's a question. Sincerely, a lot of times when a guest pisses me off before we start, Keith gets nervous about me, and maybe I shut down the fact that you can text me before a show to tell me to calm down, because I was like, please don't tell me to calm down before a show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to tell me to calm down before the show?
I knew you hated this guy.
But how well did I deal? That's a leading question.
Instead of what? Of scratching his eyes out?
Instead of kicking him the fuck out. I think it was fair to be like, what did you mean by that?
Have you ever asked somebody to leave?
No.
No, because it's more fun when they stay. I can figure it out. It's me and Keith. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I heard the show back, and I wasn't.
It's a great show.
And I wasn't embarrassed or ashamed about it. Meaning, you know, what if we did just do 5 shows and maybe once in a while we don't put one of the shows out we recorded. But no, I'm fine with the show. I'm fine with it being in the library, so to speak. But then at the same time, when he was late and there was this dismissive attitude, I'm like, you know what? I just did the fucking Newlywed Game, and that could have been the end of the week.
Right. Yeah. Or like. You know, there's so many comics, and it's not like, don't you want to be here? But I really only want people who want to be here, not because of your credits, not because of anything, like just because this is a thing in your life that you have wanted to do or want to do once you discovered it. But if you don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, I assume that people know about you. And if they don't know about you, I assume that they will at least Google it. And if they're not going to respect you guys for whatever reason that might be, they will respect the roster of guests who have been involved with you guys. Like, there's this whole fucking history available to you if you Google it. So if anything, like, when he was on, I was just like, do you know that Hannibal Buress, like, started early? You know what I mean? Do you know the history of this place? And you're just, like, it pisses me off because I obviously am very, very precious about this show and its history.
Which is nice.
But it's, I just like.
But even
it would be, if I walked into fucking Howard Stern and was like, what is this about? Like, I just, it's so, I just think
like, even if you didn't have a roster of amazing guests,
but
the fact that you've been able to make a living in this industry for, you know, a decade plus, it's like there's something to that, you know?
But I would say what I'm saying is even from a selfish, I'm trying to be like, I'm a selfish comedian and all I care about is my my career, my reputation. I would Google this, know the people that are associated with this show and stand up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, why not?
Well, it's oddly a selling point. When somebody's booking like a new festival, this is actually the way it goes. They will book the biggest people they know. And sometimes as a favor, like, let me use your name. And then it opens the doors to all these other comics. So it's one of the biggest selling points to be like, this is who we've had on before. This is who's coming on. And then comics will be like, oh, I'm supposed to do that show.
That's the thing. It's weird. I'm saying, like, if anything, you would be able to tell very easily that it's a benchmark if you did any research. So the fact that you're not treating it as such makes me very frustrated, especially since I backed you.
Well, here's an email that happened today, actually, with a big name comic. Blah, blah, blah. Pass me your email. We'd love to have you on our show, Keith and the Girl. We're a popular comedy podcast, almost 15 years running. Let me know if you're available on this date, these times. For more information on the show, check this out, blah, blah, blah.
And this is, by the way, after somebody recommended us and he said it's okay to give the email. So I'm not like cold emailing these people.
I'm also happy to send you info or answer any questions. Hope to hear from you soon. So the person writes back, hi, thanks for reaching out. Two questions. Are there other days to tape besides Mondays? That happened to be a Monday. And can I call in? Cheers. And then Hemda said, we usually record on these dates, but we sometimes record other days. Is there a day that works best for you? Sorry, we don't do phone interviews, Hemda. And he rates back, Tuesday in afternoon is usually a great time if that works for you guys. Can I call in?
And right there, I was like, Keith, I know this is a name. I know it's a name that we've heard like all our lives, basically, in comedy. Can I ignore this? Because you asked me first, do you do call-ins? I'm already turned off because I know you're old now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
This is not a radio show.
And even if it was a radio show, you know radio shows suck when they call in. You know that your jokes get like staggered in and they fall. And every old comic says, I hate having to call in because there's all these interruptions and you can't really hear and they're asking you to do their bit. And it's this nonsensical thing.
Right.
So you're already asking, I already don't like you. And then I'm going, no, we don't. And you only read the first line of my email. Why am I going to pursue this? So then you're going to come out to Astoria and act like you're going to do me a favor. Again, there's a million of you. I want to have fun. You're not fun. I am ignoring this email. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. I don't care.
If Gilbert Godfrey gives a shit, you should give a shit.
Yeah. And
okay.
And if you want to be specific about your giving a shit, you know, like if you want to be like, well, do you send cars because that is my stipulation, maybe I'll consider that. But don't ignore my email and act like a diva.
Right. Well,
be the diva that you are. Gilbert Gottfried has the credits to be the biggest diva, and all we give him is a Subway sandwich. Actually, a 7-Eleven sandwich. So, okay, we know the kind of diva he is, and he's from our childhood, and he shows up on time, all this shit.
Yeah.
But this nonsense, well, fuck off.
Yeah, I was talking to a guest today about people with attitudes, and it doesn't matter where you are in terms of your career. If you're going to be a person with an attitude, you're going to be a person with an attitude. It's going to get worse as you get higher ranking.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're better at hiding it when you truly need to use people, quote unquote, for things. Mm-hmm. But like I was saying, like when I started Hot Mess, Dan Soder came on very early on, which is a huge deal for us. Couldn't have been more pleasant. We were not like as sharp or quick as we were now. He like held, you know, he like brought his A and made the podcast super fun, was so nice, said thank you, like all this stuff. And then comics on our level would cancel day of and blah, blah, blah. Like just stupid shit. And it's like,
I'm done with that. I'm done with it because not only do I not give a shit about you, like I really don't. There's very few comics where I'm like, yay, they're coming in. Like,
right.
This is my dream. We're all the same. It's going to be fun or not fun. So I'm sick
like
of it.
Like Connor Delahanty will get excited about.
Yeah.
Oh, JP McDade.
Connor and JP. Mm-hmm. Great duo. Mm-hmm.
But not only is me, I think our audience is like, we don't care about this person.
No, they just want to have fun.
Yeah, the audience, I mean, I remember the best new guest was always just the delight. It wasn't, Doug Stanhope was not voted best new guest. Yeah. He might have been, he's definitely one of the biggest names ever that we've ever had. was not even on the list of voted. Yeah. It was like Ben Lerman, you know?
It's people who have chemistry with you guys and yeah. also who like you get real and talk shit. So if a guest comes in and you guys kind of throw something at them and they go for it.
So fun.
Then you're excited and you can tell.
Yeah. So your name doesn't really go, like we don't go by names. We take from open micers to people who have been in here for decades. Like yeah. who've been in the industry for decades.
Like my friend Daniel Simonson, who I've gone around so good. Endlessly.
One of my, Daniel.
My friend who's a Norwegian comedian. He is super private and I've asked him to go on podcasts and he says, I don't do it because I'm private and I don't know how to like, I don't know how to answer correctly. Perfect. I've had people who I've reached out to and they say, I'm not good at podcasts. And I'm like, that, thank you.
So smart.
Stop wasting everyone's time for opportunities, but then not giving a shit. It's not, then it's not an opportunity. Then it's just you looking bad and upsetting everyone and wasting everyone's time. It's so.
And then you get a bad reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, peace and love, you know, God bless. What was the poll, Keith?
The poll was.
How frustrating. Andrea.
Have you ever checked your lover's devices?
Yes.
Oh, and that's another thing. When he said I checked my lover's device, I'm like, oh, well, you checked it because your ego needed checked. Because right. she didn't act any different. You were just a jealous person.
Well, she was that kind of girl, Hamda.
Right. No,
that's right. Yeah, which ended up meaning pretty.
Yeah, it ended up meaning pretty. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I have titties in my DMs.
right. What if I have titties in my DMs? And now we're going to play stupid.
Okay, this is the thing, though.
But are they A's or are they D's?
D's. Always D's.
He's so gentle and doesn't... He's one of the few comics that when I'm in a club set... When I'm in a club, it's all, the misogyny is always like leveled way up just walking in there. And I always... He's usually around, or Usama's around, or my friend Napoleon, who just got JFL, shout out. Mm. They will be the guys that I'm excited to see because they will be so, like, Nico's usually, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. You're so funny. Like, really, this misogynistic.
How are you doing?
But you know,
he gets
hey,
it.
Yeah. Imagine.
Dude, I mean, you don't know the grossness that I get all the time.
How are that, you doing? This saint of a man.
I do think you're both saying the same thing. Yeah.
Bianca, compared to the shit I get from other comics, how are you
they
doing?
Say, how aren't you doing?
I get, how's that ass doing? Mm-hmm. Openly ogling me, being dismissive of me, like... All,
oh, you're here.
Yeah.
Like, anyone can do what you
me,
do. Yeah.
Telling me not to walk the audience. Like, it's gross, gross, mean, really horrible shit. Those guys have always been so polite. And so I don't think he's this machismo person deep down. I think this is what he's trying to project.
Maybe he was scared.
Yeah, I think he was panicking.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't, this asshole persona, whatever this is so far from what I normally see you like that I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Well, I will give him that he's young and maybe in like 4 years we'll see more of his true self and maybe that'll be more of what you're feeling.
That's got to check the schedule.
All right.
The poll, by the way, have you checked your lover's devices to find something devious? Your choices were, yes, I checked and found something. Yes, I've checked and found nothing. No, I've never checked. No, I've never checked is 59%. Practically tied by one vote off is yes, I've checked and found something versus yes, I've checked and found nothing. That
surprised
me. What
was the percent of found nothing? Because I think that's
They're true. About both 20%. I found something and found nothing.
Oh, I see. Hmm. Okay, because then I start wondering, because after I thought about it, like, he checked and found nothing because...
But that's not what we were talking
that's
about.
That's the thing. So have people checked out of their own jealousy and found nothing? I'm talking about,
because me and my girlfriend have switched phones. It was almost, like, funny. Nobody's nervous.
Yeah. Then that is a thing when you could just, like, leave your phone out for a whole day and not, like, change the settings, you know? Like, now I get texts this way, you know? But I wonder if people checked out of their own jealousy. Like, there's no switch in your relationship. There's no vibe. There's no, like, something happened. I wonder if it's just like, well, this is open, so I'm checking.
I've checked and found something every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not checking because, hey, you never know. I'm checking because I think I know and I need evidence.
That was a younger Bianca, you know. She had a boyfriend at the time. I know it's hard to believe, but it did happen.
Well, Nico was saying you know, be careful the kind of person you're going to become if you check. I don't know. To me, that's like watching.
You could become like me.
To me, that's like seeing a movie and, you know, the good guy's about to kill the bad guy. It's like, no, you're going to be just as bad as him. And I'm like, no, you're not. He's the bad guy. You're the good guy. So you checked. You were wrong somehow. You were proven wrong. Okay, guess what? You were wrong. Try to make it up in all your actions and understand you're in a healthy relationship. Good for you. It's not that fucking deep. All of a sudden, you're this evil, devious person.
I think somebody said this on the forums. If you check in general, your relationship is doomed, and I believe that.
Yeah.
Because if you checked because there is a problem, you're going to find something. The end. I know it. If you're checking because you're just a jealous person and you have an opportune moment, you're not okay enough to be in a relationship.
Well, I'm talking about the first one. That's what I'm talking about. If you think there's a reason. But we already covered, if there's a reason, we all believe here in this room, you do find something.
Yeah, but then you're done.
Yeah, I never have checked until recently. It was the one relationship where I was like, yeah, this is nefarious, obviously.
But do you consider yourself to be more virtuous than me because you have never checked and I have?
No, she did check. Yeah.
I said I had never checked up until this last, like the relationship where the guy in LA.
But I thought you said you just put the phone down.
Yeah.
I consider that checking though. Like I
don't know. Held the phone?
But what I'm saying is I've never even gotten to that point.
Oh my God. What do votes matter?
Oh my God.
Yeah, you didn't check.
You don't think I checked?
No.
You picked up a phone.
Yeah, but I'm already in that place of like, I'm going to look through your shit.
What if you don't touch it but you have gloves on?
I guess I haven't checked, but to me that
she hasn't checked.
How are these polls so hard?
I'm trying to break.
Andrea!
I'm trying to break into your phone. Am I not the same as someone
who didn't check?
You didn't check, you put it down. Because you had the opportunity to check and you checked yourself right before.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm more virtual. No, I don't know. I just couldn't.
Yeah, you're better than me. Well, yeah. Just fucking deal with it. God, I'm a true badass. All right.
That's what the problem was.
Yeah.
I am so happy that I checked in my last relationship because it was forever. To me, it was like, you know how I kept wheezing and finally somebody gave me an x-ray and saw the tumor? Mm-hmm. I kept wheezing in this relationship and I finally got an x-ray.
Yes. Hemda.
Otherwise, you're just believing the liar in front of
Hemda
you.
Hemda with the metaphor.
Thank you. It always goes back to the tumor.
Mm-hmm. We do have
no
to
one
get
argues
a,
the tumor.
We do have to go.
Okay, sorry.
We are out of time.
Trump card.
My tumor says goodbye.
I see your true colors shining through.
Because I checked your phone.
I see your true colors.
Because I'm better than you.
That's why we're breaking up. Yes. So don't be afraid. I'm going to check your phone. True colors. Beautiful. Like a rainbow. KeithandTheGirl.com.